Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And my name is M. Shannon Hernandez.
And we're going to get right into it. Shannon, what is your hot take?
Most business owners don't have a sales problem. They have a messaging problem.
I am so excited to get into this because it feels like the universe puts these stories and these ideas and these conversations into my path when it's something that I really either am struggling with myself or seeing a lot of people struggle with. So this is a really exciting conversation. I want to hear more. Tell us more why you think it's not sales, it's the message.
Well, here's why. People are pouring money into ads, time into funnels, hiring people to help them with sales. And all of that should be working in a perfect world if it was a sales problem. But that's not what's happening, people. If your message doesn't match the stage of growth you're in, none of that stuff is going to work. Oh, don't I know, even if it worked before.
I think that that's a really important distinction, though, because you said, I want to double click. You said your message doesn't match the stage of growth that you are in. And that is like one of those mic drop, pen held in the middle of the air kind of moments, because how many of us are trying to craft a message that is maybe not meant for our business? Maybe we're trying to copy the big dogs and we're a fresh entrepreneur, or maybe we're trying to I'm trying to rebuild a business right now. And so the business that I built 10 years ago and sold off can have a different message than the business I'm trying to restart now.
Absolutely. And whether we have to pivot because market shift and buying habits shift, or whether we have what I'll call a sophistication or an evolution of the brand, or we close one down and start another one, the message has to land and it has to match, or nothing else works. It doesn't matter how shiny your podcast graphics or your website looks, or how great your LinkedIn profile is. If the message does not match the audience you're trying to reach, plus your, let's call it energetic state or evolutionary state of where you're in business, people are solving the wrong problem. I could scream this from the rooftops, and I do.
Well, and to the point that like, it's okay if that message used to match.
Absolutely.
And it's okay if it no longer does, because how many of us are trying to cling on to the person that we were 10 years ago, or even the other side of the spectrum, the person we intend to be, you know, X number of years from now? And I can sit here all day and tell you all about, you know, oh, I've been in business for 35 years, but in reality, I haven't. I've only been in business for 15 years, and I can't use a messaging that doesn't match, even if it is what I plan to be doing 35 years from now.
Yeah, but Alyssa, I've been in business for 13 or 14 years, so we both kind of entered at the same state era, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think what's really important here is there was a year my business went from $250K to nearly $1 million in revenue in 16 months, okay? Everything that I said during that time, which was only 3 or 4 years ago, is not working now.
Right.
It doesn't matter how many mantras I chant, how many yoga poses I do, and how many things. Like, it's just not working. And so even though we've been in business about the same amount of time, think about how much we've seen change in marketing, in messaging, in priorities, in technology, yeah. Right? And so one of the things I like to talk about in terms of message is your message even relevant anymore? Is it relevant right now for what's on people's minds? And that's, you know, that's a big question that I work with a lot of people on, is like, if you've been talking about X, Y, and Z for 10 years, maybe we need to update that.
And I mean, it's hard too, right? Because there's so many things out there that you could do and that maybe you even should do. And yet, you know, we're only human. We only have as much time as we possibly can create for ourselves. But when you find something that works, it's hard to let it go and say, oh, well, you know, this worked. It used to work. It'll work again. Right. And what you're saying is that that might not be the case. It might not work again. And it's okay to say, I'm going to let this go because it's no longer serving me.
Yeah. And I also think as a messaging or marketing strategist, the reason, myself included, okay, I'm not exempt from it, even though this is my expertise and specialty. The reason we often don't let it go is because we don't have any other viable ideas that we feel like excite us. I'm not even going to say that work, right? I tell my clients all the time, and I tell my team all the time, if I had a freaking magic wand or a magic ball, we'd all be billionaires. So everything I roll out, guess what? It doesn't work either. But I have a wall of sticky notes of ideas. And when I hit a spot, I go and I start brainstorming around the ideas that I had maybe even a year ago, right? And I bring those forth. And that's what I really want business owners and companies to understand, is that if your biggest blind spot, if you think it's conversion, it's probably actually communication. And how do we communicate better? You can work with somebody who doesn't know your business inside and out, right? Like someone like me who just listens and then says, this is what I think is going to resonate. And we test it. But you've got to have a well of ideas when the ones you've been using aren't working.
Okay, there's two things, I'm furiously taking notes here. There's two things that I want to touch on. One, the idea of excitement, if it doesn't excite you. I have seen people, though, who get a little too excited with what I call, you know, shiny squirrel syndrome, where every new idea is something that they want to try. And then if it doesn't work immediately, they're ready to move on and give up on it. So where do we find the balance between something that excites us and something that we need to be patient for, that it's gonna work? It just might take a little bit more time, and the excitement might wear off before you see the value.
Right. So that's a good question. I'm going to give an example. Okay. I just actually tried this. So we've been marketing this workshop that I've been really excited about. It's called the Predictable Revenue Workshop. Like, who wouldn't freaking want that, right?
Everybody wants that. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you would think so, but it's not selling very well. We have 3 people registered. Okay. So my brain is like, okay, the very first thing I did when I only saw a few people register right on the first day was I reached out to people who are making between 250 and 750K, because that's who this workshop is for. And I knew them personally. I said, will you please look at this page of copy? They gave me some great ideas, things that I couldn't see for myself or things that were confusing to them. So that was number one. Okay. So I tweaked it. But here's the second thing I did. I got an intuitive hit of a post I put on Facebook, actually. And I was talking about how long I had waited to jump over to LinkedIn. And it was a very long time, Alyssa. It was 13 years into business. I waited to go to LinkedIn, right? So many people responded to that post. And it was just a personal story. And when I said, wow, people are interested in this, the next day, I said, I have 10 spots open for a strategy session on getting your authority right on LinkedIn. They all sold within 24 hours.
Right. Well, and that makes sense too, because you told a story that people could relate to, right? You created a relatable moment. And what we're all looking for is people like us, right? There's all these principles of persuasion, and this idea is that we like people who are like us, and we want to tap into something that is scarce. So the fact that you said there's only 10 spots, you created a feeling of scarcity, right? I'm sure if there was 11 people who wanted it, you would have accepted them, right? But we want to create these opportunities for people to go down and make a decision, and hopefully in our favor. But I do want to come back to your comment earlier about, you said, if you're having issues like with conversion, for example, it's probably not conversion, it's actually communication. And I think that's such an important point, is that too many of us measure conversion as like the thing that we're trying to attain, when in reality, conversion is the lagging indicator of your other things that you're trying to do. If they're not converting, maybe your price is too high. If they're not converting, maybe now is not the right time. Maybe your content's not relevant. Maybe you haven't given them all of the information they need to successfully make a decision in your favor. Conversion is the number that we see and the number that we track. But in reality, you don't have a conversion problem. It's just that conversion is the way that we express the variety of problems. It's the indicator, not the actual problem.
Right. And so just to put this in context, if you think you're having a conversion problem, I'm still going to push back that even if you're saying it's pricing, the deals are stalling out, people are leaving my program, it's timing, the competition is better. 9 times out of 10, it's still a messaging issue.
Right.
And we have been the leader here at Joyful Business Revolution for years on something that I call joyful messaging, ethical messaging, right? And I just want to back up because I think it's really important for people to hear this side too, as a messaging expert. I don't say I have 10 spots unless I have 10 spots. I don't play the scarcity game. I don't play the pain point game. I've never done that. In all these years, I have $1 million, you know, a year brand with no ad spend. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there are different philosophies of this. All right. Had 15 people said, I want the spot, I would have taken the first 10.
Yeah.
But this is the underlying thing about messaging. It's the energy. It's your conviction. It's what you believe. It's how are you communicating that. People want to buy from people that they can trust. And so that means we often have to go deeper than surface level when we communicate. And this is all like the messaging. I would call it a foundation, but it's not, because it needs to evolve with you over time.
And I think that's a really important point, too, because for a lot of people, they are playing the scarcity game, right? Like there's a ton of, like, how many times have you seen an email that comes in that says, oh, this deal is going to expire in 22 minutes. And it literally doesn't matter which 22 minutes you saw it in, that deal is going to expire in 22 minutes, right? And so a lot of people are playing this game of inauthentic urgency creation, trying to get people to do things. I actually came across a webinar is how I'll describe it. And hopefully people listening, you will catch on to this now too, the same thing I caught on. So I saw this webinar. It was an ad for a webinar in my feed, and it said, oh, we're starting in, 10 minutes. And I was like, oh my God, how serendipitous that this webinar that I'm interested in is starting in 10 minutes. So I joined. It's like on a Thursday night at like 9:30 PM. So I joined the webinar and I sat there, and it's someone talking and it feels very authentic. And they're doing that thing at the beginning where they're like, oh, where are you? You know, type in where you're coming in from. Oh, I see someone from New York and someone's here from Ohio. And like, they're just listing off random locations. And then they do this webinar and they go through. And of course, there's like, and we're going to end this thing tonight. You got to take advantage of it now. So that's cool. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I'm kind of interested in this. Tomorrow, the next day, I see the same ad for this webinar that's going to start in 10 minutes. And I'm like, what are the odds that I happen to see the same ad on? It's a different time. So I joined the webinar just to see. And the second time. And it's the same places. And it's the exact same presentation. And even the hems and the haws and the ums are in the same place. And I realized that this is not a real webinar, that it is pre-recorded and designed to look like a real webinar. And the urgency is 100% false. And what did that tell me about the type of brand and company who I would be working with? Is that they think I'm stupid, that I'm going to get got, and that they can't be trusted, because if they're going to lie about something as simple as a webinar, why would they tell me the truth about this life-changing revenue strategy that's going to change my business?
Oh my God. I'm really glad, one, that happened to you, and two, you're talking about it. Because that is the exact thing. If I said I have 10 and then somehow I had 15 and people found out, and I said, oh, I have 5 more after I already said the first 10 sold, right? That creates so much distrust in our audiences. And they freaking remember this stuff. We remember it and they remember it about us too.
This webinar happened to me in 2020 and I'm still freaking talking about it. So like, we remember these things. And if I saw them on my feed again, I'd be like, well, I'm not looking at those guys. They're a no for me, right? And I knew the first time that something felt weird, even if I didn't know for sure. So we are intuitive human beings. Like, whether you can put your finger on it, you'll know if someone is not being authentic with you.
Absolutely. And I think as business owners and, women business owners or people who identify as women, our intuition, if we do not shut it down, can be our biggest source of inspiration, curiosity, collaboration, connection, great messaging, etc. You may have to work with somebody to pull it out, but those are the things that, I can't really teach those things, but I can listen to people and get to the heart of what they really want to say and help.
So if someone is listening to this and they're saying to themselves, either they're just getting started and they have never had a message work successfully because they've never really tried, or on the flip side, something used to work and something isn't working now, and they're hearing this, where should they start? Like, what's the first thing they should do in order to move down this journey of solving this problem?
Yeah. Well, one of the things I would say, and it's not going to be popular, is get off of freaking AI and get a pencil and paper out and start writing your own thoughts, your own point of view, and you're mining your life. I teach this called mining your life for the stories that matter. And that would be looking like simple. You open your phone, you pick a picture. Every picture in her phone is from a moment, one moment in time that mattered so much. You tell that story.
Mm.
And you watch how different your content lands. Don't tell it and take it to AI. Freaking tell it and publish it. I don't even care if there's errors in it. Like, people will feel the difference between it.
I think that's really, really important. And it's something I'm actually doing right now. So I'm working on trying to figure out how to tell the story of our business and like, what are we doing now that we're restarting? So built a business 2013 up until about 2020, sold it, and am now back in a place where I have to rebuild from scratch again. And all of the things that I would have said in 2013 aren't landing anymore, right? Because it's a decade later. And so I did try in the beginning to go in and have AI like help me formulate, like to be my coach and to be my guide and to help me figure out what the heck I'm even trying to say. And then it all just started to feel so generic, and it was wrong. And it was like not 100% wrong, but it was like 15% wrong enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so it finally got to the point where I started podcasting and I was just yakking into a microphone that I started to really coalesce who we are and what we're trying to do. But it took a lot of time of me just talking to a microphone with my phone on the counter and my ChatGPT closed.
Yeah. And Alyssa, I really commend you for doing that. I really, as a messaging strategist, this is one of the things I think would change so many people now in this point in time, right? So a lot of what I'm talking about now when we talk about relevance in your message is I'm actually being booked to speak on podcasts on stages called AI Can't Fix a Dead Message. Yeah, it don't matter.
I love that.
Is. If it's dead, AI will not revive it. But on the flip side, I'm talking about how not to lose your message sovereignty in the world of AI and how not to lose your authority in the world of AI. Because there's two sides of that coin, right? The message is dead and we're holding on to it, or we have great thought leadership and great thoughts, but now we're using AI and it's not dumbing it down, but I say toning it down. It doesn't sound like you anymore. It doesn't have the heart and passion anymore. So I commend you for that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's still hard because there are times where I'm sitting here thinking like, how are people pumping out this much content? And then I'm realizing, oh, well, they're using AI. There's no other way, because I can be prolific and I'm still not anywhere near the level of content pump out that these people are doing.
And you don't need to be, my friend.
That's reassuring, because I am getting real tired.
Well, here's the thing, and you know this from building a business before, as with everything, relationships, whatever, it doesn't matter. Quality over quantity will always win long term.
I think that's so important too, because AI, in the same way AI can't revive your dead message, AI can't create or revive relationships for you.
Nope, it cannot. And can we just talk about for a minute that, I know it's a different problem, understanding that successful businesses are actually built with a human-to-human conversation and a relationship that is nurtured and worked and freaking takes time would help a lot of people understand why their business isn't growing.
Yeah. Well, and I see a lot of relationships that you can tell their relationships because there's a transactional end in mind, right? Where someone is trying too hard to ask you about your family and your friends and what you do on the weekend. And they're trying too hard to ask you who your boss is and what are their priorities for this year. And you can hear the playbook being run as they try to build that relationship. And those are the ones that maybe you get one deal out of it, but you never get a long-term opportunity or a long-term recurring opportunity from that.
Absolutely.
So what do you think is the biggest blind spot that people have when it comes to crafting a message that is relevant and will resonate?
This is a hard question to answer as a messaging strategist, because when I look at someone's content, I can see that blind spot. All right, but here's some things to look for. One, if you're straight up using AI, just quit. Like, it's a blind spot and it's not helpful. Okay. Two, do you have an interesting hook that hooks people from the beginning and gives them a reason to keep reading? Three, if we're talking about email marketing, someone reached out to me today, a colleague, and I said, well, how long are subject lines? She's like, oh, 8, 9, 10 words. I said, reduce them to 5 and quit saying register here and click here. Nobody's doing boring call to actions anymore. Like, give them a benefit, give them a value, right? One of the big things I see too is like, do you have a freaking point of view? And if you're not sharing your point of view, your message is landing with no. Like, we have taken such a strong stance here, and even kindly, right? I went back and I said, well, listen, let me talk about scarcity for a minute, right? I
could
not address that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
There's a kind way to do it. I'm not saying you have to be an asshole, but you need to have a point of view. And so one of the things that I'm really teaching people is take a piece of paper and pencil, write on the paper, what is my point of view on this topic? What's a story that relates to this topic, or a metaphor, or simile, whatever? And how can I tell this story in a compelling way? That will do wonders, right? And so I know it's a laser-focused question, but it depends on the messaging problem, quote unquote, is going to depend on what I'm seeing them already putting up, which is better advice anyway than like some generic piece of messaging advice.
I like, too, your comment about, do you have a point of view? Because I wrote down, if you don't have a point of view, everything you write is just a PSA, right? Like, if it's just a public service announcement, you're just putting something out there, it's something that you saw, you're repeating something that someone else saw. If it's nothing more than generic information without any humanity wrapped around it, it might as well be a bulletin that I see, you know, on a bulletin board or coming down from a government agency, right?
Exactly.
But if you wrap it in a point of view, like the difference between a weather forecast of a tornado is coming versus a weather forecast of, I'm in Iowa, so we have tornadoes here. A weather forecast of a tornado is coming versus a weather forecast of a tornado is coming. And by the way, that means that you need to take shelter. I recommend that you bring in some kind of radio so that you can listen. Make sure you have blankets and don't forget power might go out, so you need a candle, right? That's a point of view on what could simply be a public service announcement.
Absolutely.
Well, I feel like I have learned a lot of this, but I also feel like I've learned a lot about you as a person, as a strategist, what you care about, what you prioritize. And considering all of the people that you know or aspire to know, who else should we be listening to? Who else is leading the charge?
Well, I'm going to do a little bit of a different take on this.
I love it.
I want to talk about Alicia Keys, the singer.
Okay.
Who I think redefines visibility and what it means on her own terms. Okay, now I've been a fan of Alicia Keys for longer than I, 20 years at least, okay? When I lived in North Carolina, the song that was the most popular, one of her most popular songs at the time was the Concrete Jungle, right? Gonna move to New York and make all your dreams come true. I played that song on repeat. It was like my song. I did end up moving to New York City, where I live now. But the reason she comes to mind in terms of building relationships with her customers or with her audience, right, is she doesn't flood the internet with noise. She creates. She's often in retreat for years at a time. And when she steps into the spotlight, she does it very intentionally, right? And that's what messaging sovereignty looks like to me. She doesn't need to be flashy. She doesn't need to show off her kids. You know, her husband is a famous DJ or beat person. She doesn't lean on him for the notoriety or the famous or any of that stuff. And I think it's a beautiful example of how we can build relationships with our email list, with our social media audience, with the people even in our circles. I think about this when I go step on stages to talk. I'm not there to like be the best speaker. I'm there to like show up with intentionality and a message that people will carry with them long after my 45 minutes is done. And I love the way she goes about life and creation and business.
Could you imagine how much better our media ecosystem or our social media platforms would be if everybody, I wrote down when you were talking about Alicia Keys, that she creates and then she disappears. And when she steps out onto the stage, it's because she has something to say, a reason to come out and say something. Could you imagine if people only spoke when they actually had a real intention to say something of value? If they only spoke when they had a real intention to deliver something that brought meaning to the world around them? Because there's a lot of people who like to speak because they like the sound of their own voice, or they feel like they have to because they are the leader in the room or the executive in the room.
Or the fear kicks in and they feel like if they don't speak every day on social or wherever it is, they're going to be forgotten. So they just make up shit.
Yeah. If I don't speak out loud, does my post even exist? Does LinkedIn still exist if I don't post there, right? If a tree falls in the forest, then no one hears it.
That's right.
LinkedIn still exists, even if you're not posting, you guys, I promise.
Absolutely. What I want to say, like, if we could make it relatable to us, is she doesn't perform for attention. She just chooses the moment, right? When she shows up, she knows her message. She understands her timing. She understands her audience is going to be there through the thick and thin. She's got her loyal people. She's got new people, right? And that's why every release lands with such emotional, maybe clarity and precision.
I love that. And I think it's a very important, perfect point to end on. Shannon, if someone is really connecting with you, they want to learn more. They want to follow along. They want to be ready when you step into the spotlight to share something of value and of meaning. Where can they find you online?
Well, my favorite place to hang out is LinkedIn. That should not be a surprise. You can connect with me at LinkedIn, M. Shannon Hernandez. And I always say, if you're going to send me a connection request, please drop a message and tell me you heard me from Alyssa's podcast.
Perfect. That way, you know exactly it's a real person and not someone about to pitch slap you, right?
Absolutely. And then another place, my company is Joyful Business Revolution. And I actually have a downloadable resource that I want to get into the hands of people who want to really think about their messaging in a different way. It's called the Profit-Driven Messaging Ecosystem. And it will help you see where your message is leaking trust and how to rebuild it so that your marketing and your sales, you know, match the sophistication level of your business.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Growth Signal. I feel like we learned a lot today, and hopefully everyone is ready to put this into practice.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.